Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a podcast. And I've been so inspired with marketing and branding. I'm bringing this onto my platform. I want to talk to you today about how to grow your personal brand, your professional brand, and your overall brand with a marketing expert. So excited to introduce Jennifer Kim. Jennifer, all the way from the Bay Area. Tell us a little bit about you and the book that you've just written.
Yeah, so I'm Jen Kim from the Bay Area, as Dr. K said, and I wrote a book called Master Brand Method, and it helps experts market themselves in a very authentic way by telling good brand stories.
Well, what inspired you to write a book, first of all, and how'd you get to be a marketing expert?
It's a long thread, a long winding thread, but I will say that I originally thought I was going to be an attorney, and I studied to be a corporate attorney and decided, instead of going to law school, get my MBA because I was fascinated with human psychology and how people behave. And to me, marketing is simply, number one, letting people know how you can help them, and number two, it's the psychology of human consumption. And when you put those two together, it's just really fascinating because marketing really moves the world. Whether we like it or not, It influences and inspires people to take action. And so that's how I fell into marketing. I spent most of my career in Silicon Valley. And then in 2006, I decided to start my own consulting company and grew it from there and have been doing it ever since.
That's incredible. And the process of writing a book is a learning experience in and of itself. So you self-published, you went to a publisher.
Yeah, let me say this. Writing a book is the most challenging thing I've ever done, even more so than starting a business, growing a business, and having children. And the reason is,
that's
a scary one, but it's confronting. I like to say it's confronting because besides the discipline of the actual writing, I think it's knowing that you're putting in your packaging all of your expertise. And if you're a recovering perfectionist, like a lot of us probably are, actually still recovering, editing it down to the parts that you feel will really help people take action or get the knowledge that they're seeking, that's the hard part. And so it's like anything. I always say, like, every day when I want to get on my Peloton or go for a run, the hardest part of that is putting on my pants. It's not really once you get on the Peloton, right?
True.
So like writing a book is the same way. It's like putting on your pants every day and just being willing to write down 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I use Pomodoro technique. I like to batch my time. And so
Well, some people don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. I know what Pomodoro time is. So tell us what that is.
So it's basically staying focused for 20 to 30 minutes on one thing and not detracting from it. And I know that's even harder for us. In fact, you and I were just talking before we hit record, mm-hmm. how as busy working women who are very ambitious and want to help a lot of people through the work that we do, we've had to learn to batch and stack our time. So Pomodoro is one technique I use, especially when I was writing the book, to get and dump things out in 20 minutes and do it extemporaneously without any editing. And then I would take 20 more minutes to edit. So it's really a technique to do things in 20-minute sprints.
It's so good to do. Mm-hmm. It really helps you focus down. And like, I even tell my own kids, like, they're stuck on writing a term paper. They can't get started. I'm like, pretend like you're in an in-class timed essay you have for. You've done this at school all the time. If you just really open your floodgates, things will start happening.
Yes.
And in business too, right?
Yeah. If you put some constraint on it too, people think constraints are negative. Constraints are actually a really important technique to use even in your marketing. You know, people don't move unless you give them a constraint. Now, you want it to be an ethical constraint, something that actually means something, like you're running out of time because you're closing, you know, the opportunity to get the discount that they might get or whatever.
Limited offer. Until supplies last.
Exactly.
Have we heard that before? Yes.
Exactly. And it's in the world where a lot of things are manufactured and people get concerned that it's not real. If you have what we call, again, ethical scarcity or ethical constraints, it really helps people make decisions. And we need help making decisions because we have so much going on. We need good marketing to tell us when to take action, something we really want.
So true. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of our listeners are in aesthetics, in the aesthetic industry, or they're aesthetic patients, and they have businesses of their own. They're boss girls and boss guys listening. How should we look at marketing? Like, what's a good starting point, and what's some basic marketing and branding we need to do?
Yeah, I think at the heart of all good marketing and building a brand is storytelling. But we also complicate storytelling. So I like to keep it with a really simple framework. So there's only two stories you need to tell in your business. One is your authority story, and the second is your approachability story. Now, every single day, we have approachability stories. Where we grew up, are we parents? What are our particular things that we like to do, our hobbies, et cetera? These are all approachability stories. Even a lot of business owners usually have what we call that Phoenix story, where something happened, we fell into a dip, and then we rose above the ashes, right? That's an example of your common approachability story. And I think that if you knew and you listed five of your best approachability stories, you would find out, wow, I'm actually pretty interesting. And if you told them more, those that resonate with your story will be more attracted to you. The second story that's really important is the authority story. Now, obviously, Dr. K, you're a medical doctor. You know, mm-hmm. you are also, what I love is that you're obsessed with anatomy. You understand mm-hmm. the human face and its construction. Those are authority stories that attract people to your specific practice. And if you're an injector or you're a new business owner listening, the question is where did you perhaps get your schooling, obviously? Where did you get your certifications? And authority stories are your testimonials. Dr. K, I think, is a great example of that. In fact, I'm a patient and client of hers now because I found her on Instagram. And since I'm a marketing and branding expert, I really respect when people are showing their work. And so a great authority story is showing your work in some kind of way. And so when you mix approachability and authority stories, you start to attract people who care, not just about your quote-unquote body of work and resume and the things that you've worked on, but also they're attracted to your particular story. Like, I love too that Dr. K is a mother. She has college graduated students. I mean, it's not easy, right? To have your own business, meet a medical doctor. You went to medical school, you had a husband, you had the kids. I mean, that's a lot. And so for me, that's an automatic checkup box when I think about who I want to take care of me. And for those of you that don't have kids or don't have the same story as Dr. K or as me, that's okay, because whatever your story is, there are people out there that resonate with it. You know, how do you get started, or what's an easy way to get into marketing and building a brand? It's really about telling your real authority and approachability stories, and also knowing that the only thing that makes you different from anyone else walking this planet is your story.
It's so hard for people to understand, like, yeah. how do you differentiate yourself? And they think that they have to be like some glamorous special thing, but you don't. Your tribe is out there. As long as you broadcast your story, they yes. will find you and yes. they will come to you. Mm-hmm. It's so true, right? Mm-hmm. You talked a little bit earlier, we talked about having personal brand marketing. So tell me about the three brands that we need to have in yeah. our lives.
So there's three brands. There's a personal brand, there's an offer brand, and there's your company brand. And I think your personal and your company brand are more well known, but your offer brand is your product or service, right? And that's your best authority story. You know, the best product and or service wins, because quality and excellence have a reputation of long lasting legacy, really. I think in the world of marketing, especially online marketing and social media, it's easy to get tempted by short-term wins. But it's really about, if your offer brand is something that people say, wow, when I see those results, it's visual. And I think in the injector world, obviously in the aesthetic world, what's very cool about it from a marketing perspective is it literally is visual. So mm-hmm. people can truly see the before and after, and that's stunning. You know, it allows people to make quicker decisions. Versus like me, I do marketing branding consulting for a living for small businesses, and only if I can show, let's say, financial results and that type of transformation, and you can show the receipts, you know, yeah. if they'll let you. It's a little bit harder, actually, more challenging. But in this specific industry, it's actually quite easy mm-hmm. if you're willing to show it. And right. so
or even for like hairstylists, nail salon, like the you can see the picture, the result. It's a very visual.
Absolutely. And so that really speaks to your offer brand. That's what shows people, hey, my offer, my product, my service is thebomb.com. I like to say yeah. like it's really showing it off. Your personal brand is pretty obvious. It's more important than ever. You know, if you had asked me this question 20 years ago, Dr. K, I would say, oh, it's not as important as your company or your offer. But now, obviously, in the world of social media, it is important. People want to follow people that they admire, trust, and resonate with. And so you being able to show off both your professional prowess, but also people love to see your real life. They want to see that you're a real human being that's doing stuff in the world. And then obviously that's what creates your company. So like the personal brand plus the offer brand is what creates your company brand. And so some people start with company brand, and I say, that's not the place to start. You really want to start with having a great offer and letting people know who you are and what you stand for, which is your personal brand.
That is very true. So personal brand, offer brand, and company brand.
Yeah.
That seems like I have more work to do now.
I think you're doing it.
Well, we talked about how as women, you have to run around and like balance and juggle and do everything. And at work, yeah, I feel like I'm running around a little bit like a chicken with my head cut off. But you kind of have to dive into projects and just start, and like the action will follow. Yes. If you make the decision to start and you just dive in, your first draft may not be perfect, but it's a start.
Yes, yes. In fact, I've learned that imperfection, even though I'm a recovering perfectionist, as I said earlier, is one of my highest values. And it's one of the things I attribute the most to success. I love what you just said. Your first draft is not your final draft, but I will say that you just don't even know anything if it's just in your head. You have to actually do it.
It's and then so true.
It happens.
You have to try. What are some tips for people in terms of social media marketing and branding? What do you see that's trending right now in social media? Are people over it? Mm-hmm. Is Instagram too much? Is it consuming us? Yeah. I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I think that people are becoming what I call platform loyal finally. You know, before, just a year ago, before the pandemic, like we're recording this at the time past 2020. And I think that before that, people were trying out all the platforms, and now they're becoming 1 to 2 platform loyal. And so I always say, I think especially if you're in aesthetics or some type of services-based industry like hairstyling, as you mentioned earlier, I think Instagram and potentially TikTok are your best bets for now, obviously at the time of this recording, because again, it shows the most visual story. In fact, at this time of recording, Instagram is favoring Reels because they want to compete with TikTok. They want to compete with these micro bits of content because people are over-contented. They are over-consumed. And so anything that can give people in quick bites, like your podcast, quick information and able to do it, that's going to always be better, because I think we're past the point of long form content. Not that it's not valuable, but I think that we're just over consumed. And so if you have a strategy that is long form content, it's okay. Stay with that, actually, because that's what your viewers have been used to. Don't jump in around trends. If you already have a following, actually stick with it for a while and then maybe add one other platform. And I think one of the platforms that even professionals who are in industries like yours, Dr. K, that people are sleeping on is LinkedIn, because professionals are looking for professional support in the services industry. In fact, during the pandemic, I had so many clients who were in the aesthetics business, and the way they pivoted is they went online, they found ways to deliver things digitally, sold more products, skincare, et cetera, hair care. But also what they did is they started packaging their expertise, right? Using social media first as what I call an expertise platform, showing off your authority, you can easily pivot to creating something that you can sell that's not using your hands, but actually, you know, using information education. So it's a good supplement. So I think using social media for education to sell is another leg to take advantage of.
I think that's one of the best features of social media is its ability to educate. I call it edutainment.
Yes.
It's entertainment and education.
I love that.
And you have to be entertaining, otherwise people will change your channel. And I think that it's a whole new platform of teaching. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think we need to evolve how we teach in the classroom. How I'm evolving how I teach injectors, because we don't go study books anymore. We don't have time, really. Honestly, we don't even subscribe to read magazines anymore. It is all digital, and it has to be consumable with the flick of a wrist, and it has to be so accessible just at your fingertips. So it's a whole new wave of thinking. Yes. Did you go to school for marketing and branding? You went to business school at Berkeley.
I did.
She's a boss.
Yeah. I did, and I thought, as I said earlier, I thought I was going to be an attorney, and I'm really glad that I fell into business. It was by accident. Right when I got my degree in business, I thought I was going to use that as, I actually wanted to be the general counsel for Coca-Cola International. That was my big dream.
Wow, because they were the biggest dream.
I know, because they were the biggest brand in the world. Yeah. And I thought, oh, I love branding. And then I realized, wait a minute, I love branding. I don't want to be an attorney. I want to like help brands get seen, heard, and paid. And so that was, you know, I did study it for a living. It's basically been my whole life.
Amazing. What are some other tips from your book? Mm-hmm. What do you think are some top things that listeners should know about marketing?
Well, what's interesting is I think even more important than marketing is messaging. And people sometimes use them interchangeably, but you'll hear a lot. Marketing is such a big field, right? There's a lot of things people tell you to do, but none of it works if your messaging doesn't work. And so getting really good at explaining what you do in a way that's interesting and provocative and on brand for you. And in my book, I talk about there's, you know, 5 things that make you different. The first is, what is your brand archetype, which is a psychology-based assessment that allows you to figure out what your brand voice based on the work of Carl Jung, who was a psychologist, and many marketers use his work to describe brand voice. The second is, what is your offer? We talked about that's one of the things, and being clear what it is. Don't get people confused. Like, one of the things I can't stand is when people are like, they tell me exactly what their features and benefits are, and I'm more interested in what is the transformation that the offer creates for me, because that's what people care about. They care about the transformation and the result. They don't care about the how. You think they care about the how, but they actually don't. So if you get good at messaging the transformation you're going to create in their life, that's going to make you stand out more. The third thing is that storytelling we talked about, your authority and your approachability stories, being good at being able to use them in the right context and at the right time based on who you're attracting. And then also having a system of how you do your work. So for example, in my business, the Master Brand Method is our method. So when we work with small businesses, we put them through this process. And so not every company or personal brand needs that. But if you have a framework, like a method to how you do things, people start to trust that more. So those are some of the things that you want to have in place. But the bottom line is, you want to be able to message those things. Yeah.
Simplify your message and simplify the delivery of it. Like, who are you? What are you about?
Yeah.
How do you get it to the person?
Yes.
It's so true.
Yes.
Do you believe in CRM softwares or customer relationship management software?
Absolutely. I think that your email list. So we talked about social media, right? Social media is important, but at any time, the people who own the social media platforms can change the game. And that's what gets people really messed up, right? So your CRM, which is really housing your customer data and your email list, are your gold mine. And you can fall back on it anytime social media kind of messes with your marketing plans. And so I think it's critical to have a CRM. And I say, if you're just starting out, don't get fancy. Like, get something basic. Like,
what are some that you recommend with
CRMs? MailChimp, ActiveCampaign, and SamCart are three really good ones that are very approachable in monthly price point, and they get the job done. Now, when your business gets a little bit more complex, or you want to do a little bit more complicated marketing, you can use things like Infusionsoft or Entreport. I personally use Entreport now in our business, but in the very beginning, we used MailChimp, and we transitioned over.
Got it. Okay, I'm going to have to look into all of those.
Yeah.
How about for planning social media postings? Do you use like Planoly or Later? Are there some social media softwares that you like?
Yeah, you know, I've done all the things because I test a lot, because I think it's my job to test all the platforms so that I can help clients make better decisions. And I got to tell you, we went back to analog posting because I feel like when a human being is interacting with our people, there's a humanizing effect that I think is so important. Don't get me wrong.
It's better, right?
Yeah.
Because me too. I've tried all these and I don't like them. No. And then I just, I post when I want, what I want, and it feels organically right.
Yeah. And if you have an assistant, you know, who's helping support your social media system on your team, sometimes it's actually more cost effective to do that because they can also do other things for you. They can do photography. They can do editing. They can do research.
Right.
So if you pre-plan everything and put it into an AI, you know, artificial intelligence type of software, I think it's okay, but I think that when you asked about trends earlier, I think humanizing social media even more and humanizing the content you put out is actually an advantage, and that we shouldn't delegate that. What we should delegate is getting more humans involved in it, and then we can use CRMs instead. I would rather you spend the money on a CRM, gather leads, and then on the social media side, actually get help from a human perspective.
That's so true. And I think social media is evolving to where people are starting to understand what makes them happy when they look at their social media and what brings them down and what makes them feel like negative and self-comparison. You know, comparison is the thief of joy. And I really think it's important to follow accounts that inspire you, accounts that look like you, they act like you, they're organic and real. They're not super filtered and super manufactured, because that makes you feel bad about yourself. And the more you follow people that are like, you know, if I'm a 50-year-old woman, I need to be following some 50-year-old women who are like women who do stuff, who've been through life, and I don't need to look at filtered 22-year-olds all day long.
Sister. Yes.
Right? I need to see, we need to see our peer group, because after all, like, we don't want to be 20 again. I enjoyed being 20, but I don't want to be 20 again.
No, you know what's interesting? Another trend that's happening is Gen Z is, they're calling them the alphas. It's like Gen Alpha. That's the new thing, because they're starting over.
We're starting over.
Yeah, we're starting over. That's what I just heard from my daughter.
Can we just say Gen Zero?
And one of the things they are lacking so deeply is true connection, because social media has been their educator. their whole life.
Scary, this generation.
It is. And they are craving wisdom. And so this idea, so those of you listening who are in your 40s and up, like we are, they're wanting to learn from us. And so mm-hmm. we need to be more present and representative
True.
On social media, because we're kind of the last.
The last batch of people that had to go to school and talk to each other and exactly. ask for dates in person, face to face.
You could, you have to like use a payphone. If any of you even know what that is, it's like you have to use a payphone and somebody would actually be at the house and answer the phone. And we were the first to like try smartphones and the BlackBerry and like Palm Pilots and all the things that we had. And they don't have that today. So they don't have to use as many context clues as we did or discernment.
Yeah.
And so this
This generation is the last generation that had to break up face-to-face
yes.
with someone.
yes.
Right? Yeah, to actually have the balls to show up to that conversation.
Yes, yes, yes. And so that's the thing, back to like social media. We got to show up more, us who are
authentic, you know, and real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because and it's like such a buzzword to say, like, okay, authenticity. Like, okay, but actually showing up without a filter. Real life, on a bad hair day, like whatever, like your followers who love you, they love you because you're you.
Yes.
Because you're quirky and uniquely you. Yes. So that's such a good part about social media is you get to meet a lot of great people like me meeting you.
Yes. It's
this
been
is
so
awesome.
Great. Yeah.
What are some of your life hacks? Are you an early morning riser? Are there supplements that you take? Is there something you do to motivate you to get you on your Peloton? Mm-hmm. Give me a couple of good life hacks. I'm in need.
I got to tell you, I'm not a morning person. I always tell people that 5 a.m. thing is not my jam. Never been a morning person. I'm more of a late night. I get a lot of my energy after the kids are asleep. I have two older kids who are out of the house now, but I have a 7-year-old son and everybody has to be quiet and basically the
Same.
House so that I can get
Does every mother
done.
Have this problem?
I think
it's so. Hard. And then you're just like sleep deprived. I want to be that girl that gets up at 5 a.m.
Yes.
But
yes.
I can't because I'm up till 3.
Yeah.
Two.
I just don't think it's realistic. I think that's my hack is that I've stopped subscribing to what I call like all the basic productivity hacks. And I just kind of am listening to my body
yeah.
and saying, do I really need to do that? Because I really believe in working on the right hard things. You know, I think we have to do hard things, but I believe in working on the right ones.
Mm-hmm.
So every day I ask myself in the morning when I wake up, to answer your question, I ask myself, what are the right hard things today?
Yeah.
Instead of like doing all the things, what are the right hard things? What are the ones worth me doing? Because I've gotten
important.
To the point of time in my business, in my life, where I'm kind of like, I work really hard to make my life easy. So if I'm going to work really hard to make my life easy, I want to choose those right things, choose the right people, you know, it's mm-hmm. environment. It's so I also, I do definitely meditate. I don't work until 10 a.m. in my business. Now,
that's
I wouldn't say that's realistic for everyone, but I fought really hard to create a schedule that actually works for me. So I work from 10 to 3. Because then mm-hmm. my son comes home and then I basically don't work from 3 to 6:30. But then once everybody's to bed, I actually work from like 9 to 11. And that works. That's like my flow. And I think we have to find the flow
mm-hmm.
that works for us. And then I sleep from 11 and I don't wake up till 8, which feels so luxurious.
That's so perfect.
I know.
I need your schedule.
Yeah.
We
gotta figure
Can
out how
you
to
come
get...
help me design my life?
Yeah, let's do it. I think people would... be sad though.
I think people don't realize that you have given them permission to design their life. Like,
yes.
Hello, the pandemic made us realize you don't have to work that much. You don't need that much money. We have enough things.
Yes.
And maybe we should design the lives we really want.
Amen, sister.
Right?
Yes, 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 yes.
We need more experiences, more time.
Mm-hmm.
Time with a capital T. Like,
yes.
You can always make money, but you can never get time.
Absolutely. I mean, we only have one life in this meat sack, I call it, that calls it,
right.
That carries our soul. And it is, frankly, it has an expiration date. This meat sack has an expiration date, and we have to stop proving things. Like, one of my mentors said this to me, and I have it written on a post-it at my sink. And it says, I have nothing to prove, I have nothing to hide, I have nothing to protect, and I have nothing to defend.
Mm-hmm.
And I repeat that to myself. It's kind of a personal mantra
mm-hmm.
when I'm feeling really crappy about myself, or maybe I'm not doing
yeah.
enough, or I got to keep up with the Joneses on social media, or whatever. And it really helps me settle my nervous system down and not say,
yeah.
okay, I got to go
That's
and do
such
that.
A good one. I have nothing to prove.
Yes.
You have to tell yourself that, because I guess we grow up needing to prove ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't think we would be in the professions we were in if we weren't ambitious and driven
yeah.
to begin with. But sometimes that drive also burns us out and gets us exhausted.
It's easy to say at age 50 that I have nothing to prove, because I feel like I've gotten to most of what I wanted to prove. But telling that to your 20-year-old self would be really hard. Oh my gosh. When you're 20, you have everything you need to prove, you know?
So, one of the things I say now is I work for future Jen. I don't work for current Jen or past Jen anymore. Like, I work for future Jen. And future Jen is tomorrow Jen. It's kind of like, tomorrow, how do I want to show up? So she's my boss now instead of, you know, today Jen or past Jen. Because the past Jen would have been like, work harder, you know, prove yourself. Yeah. And current Jen is
Future Jen would say, you should have gone to that, you know, on that trip. You should have had a 3-day weekend.
Absolutely.
Why didn't you have more experiences?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. We all need to sit and have that talk with ourselves at our on our deathbed, like really analyzing, like, don't you wish you had worked less and gone home on time?
Yes.
Like, what? You wasted all these years. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
It's such a pleasure to talk with you today. And marketing and branding, it turns into life messaging.
It does.
It's messaging.
Yes.
It's what's your message. You have such a positive and good message. And I hope that all of my listeners are going to buy your book. I can't wait to read it personally.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Where can people find you on Instagram?
Well, they can find me at jennifer.kem. And
K-E-M.
K-E-M. And that's where I hang out the most. And you can DM me. And it's actually me in the DMs.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And you also run Femfluence.
Yes. So I have another Instagram. I have a podcast called Femfluence Radio. It's on Apple and all the podcast stations. So check it out. And it's all about uplifting voices of women and honoring that it's okay to be rich and recognized, and teaching women how to be affluent and influential at the same time while making an impact.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Awesome. Thanks so much for coming in today and trusting me with your beautiful face. And I love all of your messaging.
Oh, I'm so grateful to be here. Thanks, Dr. K.
That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same. That's where you can find our awesome skincare. I'm definitely going to get you some. And it's beautybydrk.com. You'll find me here on Tuesdays doing a longer podcast. And every Friday, we have a 5-Minute Friday as well, all about your skin. That's it for now. And don't forget to check out Jen's amazing book. Stay beautiful.